From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Haiti calm today, but there are predictions it could be the quiet before the storm. Montserrat demanding more than double the aid funds Britain is providing its volcano-ravaged colony. And the United States-European Union trade confrontation escalates in Geneva. I'm Ken Richards, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Haiti's present political crisis may have stemmed from fears in the majority party that if Education Minister Jacques-Edouard Alexis became Prime Minister, he would favour Aristide sympathisers and bypass them. That's one reason being advanced on why there was hostility to the proposed new Prime Minister. The result is last night's announcement by President René Préval to end the term of the country's parliament and appoint a new Prime Minister by decree. The announcement fell short of dissolving the combative Haitian parliament. While its term may be over, the president does not have the right to call fresh elections, a task which must be done by an independent electoral council. The problem is that such a body does not exist in Haiti at the moment, one of what's being described as several institutional holes in the country. I asked journalist Michael Norton what has been the overall reaction to President Préval's decision.
I think that it was as easy as cutting butter with a knife. There are no demonstrations in the street today. Parliamentarians are protesting, but there have been no formal declarations as yet, neither from national bodies nor from international bodies.
So it's going to be very likely that an interim administration will be accepted?
There is not much punch in the political parties that are now in the opposition, and the civil society is really very disorganized.
There must be some implications in the decision that President Préval has taken. What kind of implications do you see?
Many people see this as one step back to dictatorship. What will happen? The cabinet, we have not yet an idea who will be on the cabinet. Probably there will be many sympathizers of former president Jean-Bertrand Aristide. What kind of consensus can come about for elections in such circumstances, in such conditions? That is another question. How will elections to replace the now defunct parliament be held? That's another question. So what we have, in fact, is one branch of government alone on the tree, and that branch is the executive. People look at that and say, well, isn't that what we call a dictatorship, when all power is concentrated in a single organ of the state?
What of former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide himself? Isn't he likely to try to capitalize on this latest controversy?
Jean-Bertrand Aristide is a very influential politician, the most influential politician in Haiti. He has been working very seriously for a very long time to regain the presidency when presidential elections reoccur in the year 2000. I think that all he has to do is sit tight and continue doing what he is doing, organizing his own political party and showing that he is the only alternative and that his partisans are the only alternative to chaos and to disorder.
Does the Préval decision clear the air or make matters much worse in the country?
There is not a consensus on constitutional government in Haiti. Now, will a de facto reshaping of the constitution make it easier to govern Haiti? Perhaps at the very beginning, but there are problems. Number one, the international community. We have to wait and see what sort of a reaction there will be. And on the other hand, many people now will be out of the political picture, and these people will do what they can to get back in. And that means, if not in the near future, street action or turmoil of any sort, in the future, if there is no economic progress, there is a lot of room for turbulence.
Michael Norton. CARICOM has adopted a wait-and-see attitude to the latest developments in Port-au-Prince. Haiti wants to become a full-fledged member of the Caribbean community, but the developments there could have implications for that aspiration. The United States has stepped up its threat of a multi-million dollar trade war over bananas. At a meeting of the World Trade Organization in Geneva, its ambassador announced the U.S. would press ahead with plans to impose sanctions on some European goods in retaliation for the EU's alleged failure to open up its market sufficiently to Latin American banana producers. In a separate development, the WTO agreed to reconvene a panel to decide if the EU had brought its banana import regime into line with free trade rules. From Geneva, the BBC's Claire Dewell reports.
The United States is determined to press ahead with its sanctions threat against the European Union. At a meeting in Geneva, the US announced that in 2 weeks' time it would ask the World Trade Organization to approve its multi-million dollar trade sanctions on European goods, a request which Washington insists is a mere formality. Its ambassador to the WTO said moves towards sanctions would only stop if the EU agreed to stop discriminating against Latin American banana producers. The EU says its new reformed banana import regime, which came into effect this month, is non-discriminatory and compliant with WTO rules. And after months of wrangling, there is now agreement from all sides for a WTO panel to review those reforms. At today's meeting, the WTO said the same panel of experts would be reconvened, which had originally told the EU to bring